This is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus in Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with a friend of the show. He's been on many times, Mr. 2020. Mr. 2020 is an expert in Neville Goddard, and he started his journey years ago when he was working as a prison guard and was held hostage in one of the biggest prison riots in American history. As a result, he suffered post-traumatic stress disorder and used many of the things that he teaches about Neville Goddard's teaching to relieve himself of these symptoms of PTSD. You can find him at freeneville.com. Welcome to the show, 2020.
Hey, Marie. It's nice to talk with you again. It's been way too long, and and it always feels like it was just yesterday as soon as we hook up, so it's great to be with you.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you're here today. I wanted to talk about, we're going to talk about the addiction that so many of us have to stress, chaos, drama, poverty, whatever the crap is in our lives that we keep bringing up for some reason.
You betcha.
But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about, you were just on video a minute ago, and you mentioned that you're drinking turmeric tea.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you something. I love this fellow that's from up your way, Dave Asprey. And one of the things that I love about Dave is he is a biohacker. So Dave basically just is constantly experimenting with everything in his body and his life, from what I can tell, to see what's possible and just improve his energy, focus, and so on. And so one of the things that I've stolen from Dave is this bulletproof coffee, and I'll just call it bulletproof turmeric tea, which the recipe is real simple. If you wanted to start out with probably what you have in your kitchen or local market, you just get a little bit of grass-fed butter, unsalted, some coconut oil, or you can use some of Dave Asprey's oils, which are excellent, by the way. A little bit of pink sea salt, a little bit of black pepper. I guess those synergistically work with the turmeric somehow. I'm not smart enough to remember all that. But it tastes good. It relieves inflammation, and it's just darn yummy.
And then you add turmeric to it.
You betcha. I've left the most important ingredient out. You got it. And shake like crazy, because the worst thing you can do if you're making bulletproof coffee or tea is to just have an oil slick on top of your coffee. So you got to put it in a shaky thing or a blendy thing and just whiz it up real good. And my God, it is just delicious. So yeah, feed your brain good fats and have some fun.
How much turmeric do you put in there? I'm curious.
I'm very scientific. It's I take a teaspoon and whatever comes out of the package goes in. So sometimes it's a heaping, but this will make like 3 cups of turmeric tea. So yeah, I've got a flask here. I'm good to go for another hour.
Nice. And how long have you been drinking it?
You know, I've been playing with Dave's stuff like that for a couple years now, and on and off. But we seriously got into it maybe 2 years ago, and the only thing we have for breakfast, seriously, is like we get up around 5:30, 6 in the morning, and we do a bulletproof coffee, and I usually do a bulletproof turmeric tea or beetroot powder right about now, and then we eat around 1.
Nice. Cool.
Totally. And it seems, you know, what I do like about it, again, is that to me, it just feels good. It feels right. You know, your brain's mostly made of fat and cholesterol, from what I understand, and it consumes fat. So I just put good fat into it and you just enjoy the high energy, good focus morning.
Nice. And it's such a synchronicity, because I was just watching an interview by Tim Ferriss yesterday, who was drinking the turmeric tea and talking about it in this interview. And then this morning I was searching for it. And then you come on Skype and I see you shaking up this mug of something.
Yeah, something. Right. Yeah, that's what I love about your energy and your show, by the way, because you're, as far as I can tell, a lot of time, especially, well, yeah, when we talk at least, you're in the flow. And yeah, that could be part of what you do because you're passionate about what you do. But when people are in the flow, it just, everything, it does come together in the most marvelous, coolest ways. So good on you. It's just good fun.
Thanks, 20. Well, I find it easy to be in the flow with you. Now this is the Mutual Appreciation Society. Like, I love talking to you. You love talking to me. And that's why, you know, you keep coming back on the show, because it is so much fun, the chats that we have. And I hope that listeners are getting benefit from it. But yeah, though, it was an interesting synchronicity, and I just wanted to share that with people. And again, so that was Dave Asprey, Bulletproof Coffee, Turmeric Coffee. You can Google it and find more information. And if you want information on Mr. 2020, you can go to his website, freeneville.com. And just really quick, for people who haven't heard you on the show before, I have no idea who the heck Neville Goddard is. Who is he?
Cool. I'm going to answer that sideways if I could. So you mentioned the word synchronicity. I'm going to approach it from a tiny little different angle this morning. You imagined, knowing about Bulletproof Coffee or turmeric tea, right? So you imagined knowing about turmeric tea. So of course, once you enter the state of, yeah, you know what, it'd be really cool, yeah, and actually experience in imagination knowing, feeling that satisfaction of knowing, yeah, turmeric tea, pretty cool, I'm going to make some. As soon as you get there, according to the teachings of Neville and the way we live our lives here in Melbourne, Australia, is everything that needs to happens for that to happen. So part of it might be, hey, before I get on the show with 20, I'm going to Google this and look this up because it's really cool and it's on the top of my mind right before the show. I would even say that's the mundane part of Neville's teachings, right? On the miraculous part from Neville's teachings, just because you've entered the state of knowing about turmeric tea, that happens to be my drink of choice for today's show, because I could have made a couple other things. But that's the one I made, and it all cool comes together. So as far as I'm concerned, Neville's teachings, Neville was a guy who basically discovered that imagining creates reality. He said your awareness of being is God. I say how you are aware of being creates your circumstances. And literally just that's where we get to play. How are you aware of being? If you're aware that making money is easy, it'll be easy for you. If you're aware that money is a struggle and only bad people have it, well, you're going to struggle and be bad if you ever get it. So it's pretty simple.
Thank you. And I keep forgetting to mention, I use a milk frother for my Bulletproof Coffee. You can them for like $6 and you don't have to put it in the blender or anything, and it just whips it right up. Beautiful frothy.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, enough about the special teas and coffees, as delicious as they are. Let's talk about another addiction, because sometimes we can be addicted to coffee, but this addiction that we have to the bad stuff, like you were just mentioning, the beliefs that money is hard to make or that life is a struggle. Those are addictive kinds of beliefs.
Oh my God. I find it fascinating, because one of the philosophies that I adopted a long time ago is your biggest enemy is success. And most people, if I tell them that, they go, hold on, what are you talking about? Because one of the things that happens to us is we find ways to survive. So if the way to survive, let me back up. So we find ways to survive. And when I say that, it means, well, you know, I survived my breakup by, you know, XYZ behavior. Next time you get in a relationship, you're going to possibly start holding your breath and having those same behaviors show up so you can survive that relationship too. You haven't even really gone deep in the relationship yet. You're nowhere near breaking up, but the behavior of, oh, I've got to survive this shows up. And it's utterly fascinating, because if we let that old memory go unchecked, what happens is we start to develop habits that create the chaos in our lives.
So can we talk more about what you mean by the habits that create chaos?
I had a good friend who every time she got a bonus at work, something would break down in her house, right? So she'd get a $500 or $1,000 bonus, and would you believe the appliance worth that amount of money would break down in her house, right? Every single time. And so one of the things that we did was we ran with one of the teachings of Neville's, which is revision, And I told her, I says, what I want you to do is to imagine that the last time you got a bonus. Well, I said, well, let me ask you a question. What happened? And she goes, well, the last time I got a bonus, I had to buy a dryer. I said, cool. I want you to go back, reimagine getting that bonus, and this time you went to Walmart and bought golf clubs, right? And as soon as she did it and got it right, boom, there was a little bit of a giggle, a flush in her face, her physiology changed. I said, cool, tell me about another time. And she says, well, I got a $1,000 bonus and the transmission in my car went. I said, all right, cool. So what would you have rather done with the money? And she said, well, I was planning on going to Disney. And I said, cool. So I want you to imagine, that you went to Disney instead. So go back, get that bonus, book your trip, go to Disney, come back and drive your car back from the airport and have it be cool, right? And so we had her do a couple of these. And the really cool, on the weird woo-woo side of things that people say about this is, after she did that a couple times, her next four bonuses she spent on what she wanted to have. And you could say, well, of course, she's already replaced all the appliances, the transmission in her car, all that stuff. But she broke a pattern in her life. And, no matter how you want to look at it, if we take the time to go back and deliberately rewrite some of those memories, because they're being rewritten anytime you access them anyway, your entire life starts to change because you stop anticipating the problem.
So that must mean that we could theoretically go in and once we've identified what our limiting beliefs are, we could systematically just go in and change all of them.
I'm going to avoid the word belief just for fun. And I'm just going to say memory. Because as far as I can tell, what a belief is, except, a functional belief is a behavior, right? And our behaviors all come from memory. So if you came, so you live in Canada, right?
Yes.
So living in Canada, you guys drive on the right side of the road. Living in Australia, we drive on the proper side of the road. Right? So fortunately, having spent most of my adulthood in America, I can drive on both the right and the proper side of the road pretty effectively, right? So sometimes I just take my half out of the middle. But what's really cool is when I first came here, I had to really focus on, right, I need to develop a new habit. Like, not only what lane do I drive in, but where do I look? Because when I'm coming to an intersection, traffic is coming from all sorts of weird directions. Or if somebody passes me, they're passing me on the right side instead of the proper side. So it's a fascinating thing. And what I did to learn how to drive here very, very quickly is, I went in and just imagined, having driven here. I imagined up a couple dozen episodes of driving in Australia. So I had the habit of driving on the proper side of the road and looking in the right areas to find out where the cars are coming from, going through the roundabouts and so on. So we can rewire everything. What's really cool is you don't need to have four good relationships in a row, for example, to develop the habit of having good relationships. You can go back and go, right, that relationship I had when I was 12 that broke up really terribly, I'm going to imagine that we just parted as friends and it was lovely. And the one I had when I was 17, I'll imagine the same thing. And you can just go through and just start changing those things. And the next time you get in a relationship, it's like, right. I mean, you're not going, fuck, when's it going to end? I don't know what to do. I got to, protect myself in case. I'm going to look for the signs this time. You can just get rid of all that stuff, not by changing a belief, but by changing the memories.
I want like a script to do it, but I guess every memory and every circumstance is a little bit different.
Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what we just did. Have you seen the video we did on Neville Goddard's coffee game?
No, I
Oh my.
saw that it was there, but I haven't watched it yet.
All right, so can we give you and the listening audience a real quick lesson on how to do this fun and fast?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Ready? So what I want you to do, so one of the things that Neville taught that's very different than the law of attraction kind of crowd is Neville said, I want you to imagine what implies your wish has been fulfilled. In other words, don't imagine the wish itself. Don't imagine what you want. Imagine what would imply it's already true. And I'll give you a good example of that. We call it the congratulatory conversation. So I don't imagine you and I having a good time, right? Because if I imagine you and I having a good time, there's another part of consciousness inside of me that can go, well, but what if this happens? Oh, no, but we had a good time. Oh, what if that happens? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Oh, we all do, right? So what I imagine is I walk in the door and Victoria goes, God, it sounded like you guys had fun. Boom, right? Yeah. And so I'm imagining after the show. So I imagine Victoria saying, you guys sounded like you were having great fun. And I go, yeah, it was great. And so my feeling, she's happy that we had a good time. I'm happy she's happy. I'm happy you're happy. You get it? So I'm imagining after the show, before the show. So I don't got to focus on making the show ever happen. So
what's going on back there in Australia?
That's neighbor Ron with a hammer.
Oh, okay.
All right. So there's that bit. So here's the coffee game. Ready?
Yes.
What I want you to do is to imagine. Well, tell me something you'd like to imagine have different in your life.
I would love a beautiful place to live that is easily affordable in Vancouver, and is just lovely and filled with light, and a place I want to invite friends to.
Cool. So that's not where you are now?
No.
Nope. Cool. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to notice, so you drink coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So I want you to just notice, so you had a coffee this morning?
Yes.
All right. So I want you to imagine having a coffee in this ideal home, this ideal house of yours that you've been living in for a while, the ideal one, the one you just described to me.
Okay.
So what's it like drinking coffee there compared to where you were this morning?
Well, it feels, I sit up higher, taller. I feel more open in my body. There's more space. There's a lot of white space, empty space.
Got it. So what I want you to do, this is technically phase two of the coffee game, but if they want to see it all, they can, you know, Google Neville Goddard coffee game or whatever. But here's the cool thing, ready? You can imagine drinking a coffee in your new home every morning, right? You get up and you're already imagining drinking a coffee when you get out of bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets you to the kitchen to make the darn thing. So while you're waking up in the morning, what I want you to do from now on is imagine that you just got that cup of coffee and you're enjoying it in your new home. Right?
Beautiful.
But yes. Now I want you to imagine you've been in that home for a year.
Okay.
And enjoy that coffee. What do you see when you drink your coffee in Vancouver? Yeah, I was just going to ask how you feel, and that's all I need to know. Boom. Play there.
Cool. Okay, now I have all these analytical questions.
Lovely. Can I expect them? Those.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because so even with, like you said, you don't imagine the show going well, you imagine the end result, because if you start looking at the details, then our brains go. So as soon as I start thinking of what I want this house to look like, the logic comes in of like, well, I know one of the reasons I say in Vancouver and affordable is the housing market here in Vancouver is outrageous.
So let me ask you a question. So I notice with people with money, I've got this cool little program that we do with money. And one of the questions that I bring up is this: poor people, right, and rich people both live beneath their means. In other words, they spend less than they make, right? Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing: if you want to stay small with finances, okay, focus on spending less than you currently make, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to grow with this stuff, expand your income. Imagine your income having expanded to the point where what you want is affordable. You get the difference?
Yes.
Yes. It's such a tiny little thing, right? It's important to live beneath your means. I think anybody with common sense knows if you make 10, spend 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, save two. But on the other hand, if it's like, you know what, I need to, so to live the way I want to, I need to spend 10. Cool. So you imagine what would imply you're making 12 or 20, right? Then life gets fun.
So just by doing that coffee exercise and imagining the ideal home and imagining living there and drinking the coffee, that implies not only that I'm in this beautiful home, that I'm easily able to afford it, it also implies that I'm likely making significantly more,
Yes.
all of these things.
And what's cool is, so we were doing an on the Feel It Real Fun show yesterday or the day before. We were doing a reader email where somebody asked a question and they were talking about being a house flipper, right? And so they were saying, well, what should I imagine? Should I imagine a house? Should I and we said, look, here's the thing, right? So I drive down the road, Mr. 2020, and I see a house for sale, and you know what my reaction is? Nothing. I have no interest, right? So I'm just going to the dog park having fun. So that's it. My friend Leo, who was buying houses to rent, if he was going down the road and saw a house for sale, he would look at the house and maybe look at the numbers in a different way than somebody who was buying a house to live in, right? Somebody who wants to flip a house is going to see the house and go, wow, look, a fixer-upper. I wonder how much they want for it, and I wonder what I can sell it for. Right? So they're going to look at that house with a completely different internal dialogue. So what's really cool, whenever you decide, you know what, I'm doubling my income. So let me ask you a question. If you had double the income, how would that feel?
Good.
If you had double the income and you worked half the time, what would that be like?
Better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I realized that, what I started doing, among other things, was writing little $7 ebooks, right? So let's say it takes me 10 hours to write a $7 ebook, and I sell one of those. How much did I make an hour? Not,
hours? Not
yeah,
very much.
not much. I mean, 70 cents, right? However, if I sell 1,000 of those, I'm doing pretty good. And if I write a second book, because after they read the first one, they say, cool, do you have any more? Sure do. Right? So if I have 10, 12 little $7 books, and people, I only write them once. It only takes me 10 hours to write a book. But when it sells 1,000, 2,000 times, and there's other books in the series, right? Everything gets really, really cool. And then I can have 27, 47, $97 programs, which you all know about. But the cool thing is, when I decided to double my income and work half the time, and then double it again and work half the time, I started thinking differently because I couldn't trade time for dollars anymore. What I could do is go, right, I'll trade 10 hours for, how many sales? 50, 100, 1,000. And instead of doing one book, I'll write a series because when people buy volume one, they'll go, wow, there's a volume two. I'll get that. And so all my thinking strategies around money and business and life start to change whenever I go, right, I'm the guy that routinely doubles my income. And as soon as I adopt that, because, and let's tie in coffee. Are you ready? I sit here in the morning and I drink my coffee at 5:30 in the morning. And I notice there are two kinds of people in my world. There are those who sit in traffic, and there are those who listen to traffic. I listen to traffic because I'm in my house drinking my coffee, and I listen to the traffic going by, and I know I never have to do that again. The people in traffic are going, I hope I survive the week. I'll do this 8-hour thing again because I might get a pay check on Friday. Or I might not if they close the company. They're always scared. I'm living from, right. What can I write a $7 book about? What can I make a $27 program about that will bless thousands and thousands of people so they keep coming back for more? And that all comes from I drink a coffee knowing that I listen to traffic instead of sitting in traffic with a coffee. Get the difference?
Yes, and I have more questions about that.
The Crane Library is looking for student volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a two-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
Tired of begging for rides from your friends?
Bobby, I don't have time to take you to the soda shop again this week.
Lugging those groceries on the bus got you in a sweat?
Man, oh man, these bags of salt sure are hefty.
Being on campus without a car ain't easy, so check out Zipcar and get wheels when you want them. Join now to get your membership for only $20 at zipcar.ca/UBC.
We are speaking right now with Mr. 2020. You can find him at freeneville.com and also on Facebook. You mentioned you're doing the...
The Feel It Real Fun show.
Oh, Feel It Real. And that's on your YouTube or your Facebook page.
You betcha. And if they go to feelitrealfun.com, that'll take them right to our YouTube page where there's a couple hundred episodes they can watch for hours. Make lots of popcorn.
Awesome. As you're talking about writing your $7 ebook, what comes to mind for me is the first thing is, well, I don't know what I would write about. I don't know why would anyone want to pay for the knowledge I have. You know what I mean? Like those types of.
Yes. Would you believe I'm writing a book on that right now?
Yes, I do believe that.
Oh my God. So do you want the inside scoop, the skinny, the good stuff?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You know why I do what I do?
Because you love it?
I was beat to death when I was 23 in the Camp Hill prison riots. I came out of there with PTSD, got divorced, went broke, all that good stuff. And I realized something. Every day is a gift. We didn't come here to do the dishes and slave all day. So every day I get up and I write articles and I write little posts on Facebook. I answer emails. I produce products once in a while. This is my first new one that I'm working on. I'm working on three right now, but this is my first new stuff in a year. But I do what I do because I want more playtime and more playmates. And for that to happen, you've got to know literally, consciousness is the only reality, because there's two things in consciousness, the physical world and what you imagine, right? And two, you get to discover how imagination works. Because if you imagine that you're the kind of person who can do something like this, if you can imagine you're the kind of person who has done something like this, you will do it. So here's the key with writing a $7 ebook or a $27 program or a $97 program is don't ever focus on the what. Focus from your why. Everything, so you have a bunch of my stuff. Mm-hmm. Every single bit of it is about, I want you to play more. I want you to have more time to play. I want you to have more money to play. I want you to have more play in your relationships. So my big thing is play. I suspect that theme park hearth is where we come to play. And what happens is when we're little, we play games like War and House and Daniel Boone and all that stuff. But when we grow up, we forget that it's play and we actually do go to war on everything. Right? And we struggle keeping house. It's fascinating to me. So everything I write basically comes down to write, how can I help Marie play more? The one project I'm working on is your $1 million message. Your $1 million message is your why. Why do you do your show?
This is what happens is when I get a direct question, all of a sudden I get, I don't know. And it's not that I don't know, because all the things that I wish for and hope for are the things I want more of. But when I'm faced with that question, what do you want? Why do you do what you do? I just don't have an answer.
Got it. I get that the what questions stump everyone. And the way out is really, it's always a simple message. Again, my simple message, more playtime, more playmates. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. I want interesting conversations. That's why I'm talking to you. I can't stand boring conversations. Can you?
No.
I know you can't, right? So that's why we're here. So I'm an incredibly selfish human being. I want more fascinating conversations in my life because I can't stand, you know, hey, did you hear about the Steelers? What about the weather? There was that guy in the news. I don't care about any of that. What I want to know is when I see you, it's like, Marie, how's that house? Oh, my God, 20, you should see it. We just put a veranda on the back. Really? Cool. Who's the we? Right? That's what I want. More real life, more play, more dance. And so, again, everything I write comes from that. Years ago, I wrote lots about edible plants. I did a lot of I did something we called a weed walk. I taught people how to, like, literally, you could walk a mile from your house and find probably 30 to 70 plants that you could use for food, utilitarianism, or medicine. Right? So anything that's wrong with you, you could fix with the plants in your neighborhood. If you need to eat, you could get plants from your neighborhood. So I wrote a lot of articles and co-authored a little book on that and just had a lot of fun with it. But that message was, again, something I'm passionate about, because when people say I can't afford, you know, health care, you know, good food is so expensive. No, it's not. I'm looking around right now. I'm sitting in my garden and I see three things that I can eat within a couple feet of me, and they're not things we planted for food. So again, what did I want back then for people? I wanted people to discover that they could take care of themselves with the plants around them. But more importantly, I wanted them to fall in love with their life here on Earth and with the plants around them to the point that they took care of them. Because if you're spraying Roundup in your garden and you're at war with your garden, you're, again, at war with everything. So get even that comes back to, you know what I want? More playtime, more playmates. Go eat some violets out of your yard. Go eat some dandelions. Just have a wild salad and notice how good that makes your body feel. And meanwhile, fall back in love with life here on Earth, because you came here to explore. You came here to experience things. And that's probably why, like, the Indiana Jones movie series is one of the best-selling blockbusters of all time. Same with Star Wars, that adventure. From what I can tell, what we are is we're here to have that adventure of a lifetime.
So we're here to have an adventure, but so many of us are stuck in this place of, I don't know what I want other than to survive this week, other than to get through this traffic, to pay my mortgage, all of that stuff.
We buy the baloney, don't we? Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, they told me, get good grades. Go to college, get a degree, get a good job. And I was silly. I did the math. And I figured, you know what, even if I make an extra 20 grand a year with the debt that I would incur to go to college, it wasn't going to work out. I just looked at it. It was a chess game with no winning possibilities. And so I didn't take that path. And I thank God I didn't take that path, because, what I've discovered is, you know, we can use if you decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to double my income. Don't put a date on it. But if you decide, you know what, I'm doubling my income, and you explore what it's like to have twice the income and work half the time, you'll find the decisions that you make change. You'll find the questions that you ask change, that the answers that you find change. And that, to me, is where the miracle of this happens, because, you know, so many of us learned, good grades, degree, work hard, you'll do okay. And we discover that pattern didn't work out all that well for most people. So make up a new song. Find something that's fun for you.
So 20, it sounds like the key is not to just think I'm going to double my income, because sometimes that means taking on new jobs.
Oh my God. Yes.
When you're focusing on doubling your income and working half the time, what are some of the things that people are envisioning for that future reality?
Like I said, there's two kinds of people in the world. There are those who sit in traffic and those who listen to traffic, right? And so the cool thing is, I notice when it comes to money, people get all bottlenecked. And I can understand why, because like growing up, I was always told, don't talk about money, don't ask anyone what they make, you know, don't ask a woman her age. I mean, there are these forbidden questions, right? Don't talk about money, don't talk about it, right? Well, one of the things that I discovered was people who create wealth in their lives love to talk about how to make money. Because, you know, they want to see other people do it. Now, what's really cool is I don't imagine looking at the bank statement and seeing a whole bunch of extra zeros at the end or in the middle. I'll tell you what I imagine, and this has become my physical reality. I go to the dog park every day. That's it. I go to the dog park. My buddy Jim hollers hello. I say hey back. I see him every day because he's retired, right? And I just enjoy my morning knowing that there's no place for me to get to. I don't got to worry about if I have enough money to buy meat on the way home. I imagined going to the dog park and having no concerns about money because I make a lot, right? And that's it. So there we are. And that implies I've got the money. But if I'm focusing on money, 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 it gets almost hypnotic in a negative way. Versus, right, what would I do if, you know, if I had plenty of money and, you know, my multiple incomes that weren't time for money dependent? Yeah, I'd go to the dog park. I'd enjoy a wine at noon. I would just find those things. And if you find and imagine those things into your life, again, you know, the brain is not a linear thing. If you watch people surf the web, it's not a linear experience. They start looking at bulletproof coffee. Next thing you know, they're looking up oils. Next thing you know, who's this Dave guy? Oh, he had a guy in there talking about eating fish. And then suddenly you're, you know what? I wouldn't mind moving close to the ocean so I can catch fresh fish. Right? No, I'd like to have a boat. So you notice how people do this. This is how we surf the internet, because this is how we think. And so if I'm imagining wealth in life, what I've created is what I imagined. I listen to traffic and I go to the dog park. And you hear the attitude in my voice. That's reality. It's not about the cars, the money, the vacations to me. It's about every day I go to the dog park and I have no concerns.
Okay. I get what you're saying. And it's also sound, because I know for, if I think this way, other people must think this way also. So
you bet.
I'm thinking, what kind of business do I need to start? Or what kind of book do I need to write? Or how can I get the skills to do X, Y, Z? Do I need to go back to school? Blah, 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 blah. How? And you got to stop that completely.
Yes.
Because it's stressing me the hell out.
Yes.
And focus on the ease, and then what? These ideas just magically come?
It's sort of like a date, right? So I'm working with a young fella, and he says, you know, I got a date with the girl. And I said, cool, now what? And he goes, I'm terrified I'm going to flub it up. I said, talk to me about that. And he's like, well, you know, I figured if this happens, I'll do that. If that happens, I'll do this. If she brings up her ex-boyfriend, he's lost in his head, right? So you're a girl, right?
Yeah.
So if you were on a date with a guy and he was lost in his head versus putting his attention lovingly on you, how would the date be?
Not very good.
Not very good. So I told him, I said, dude, you don't have to figure out all these hows and what to do if this happens and how to make sure you survive this part of the date. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine talking to me the day after the date and saying, wow, that was we had a lovely time. And he's like, that's it? I'm like, yeah, that's it. I want you to imagine telling your best friend what a lovely time it was. Or having your best friend say, man, it must have went great. And you just go, yeah, boom. Lock in what implies the wish has been fulfilled. And what happens when you do that, you'll notice in this show, this is so real. Because in our show right now, I'm not trying to figure out what to say. I don't know what the right answer is or the right question. But you and I get to dance a dance together today because I've imagined that we have had already a lovely dance. by Victoria saying, God, it sounded like you guys were having fun. Yep, sure do, as always. Bang. Get it?
Yes. And I have to say, 20, when you talk about the doubling your income, I probably have doubled my income in the time that I've known you.
Nice.
And I am, I'm working more, but not overwhelmingly so. And they're working in ways that are, you know, enriching my life. But I do find, like, when you ask those questions, I automatically get, I don't know. That's the problem. That's why I have to ask you, because I don't know.
Yes. It's so cool because I swear it's impossible for me to figure out my next move. It's absolutely impossible, no matter what it is, right? So again, what I do is I go to what implies the end has already happened. And it's amazing how it always works out, because coming from that space of course I won the karate championship. You know, my instructor's proud. He's looking at the trophy and looking at me, and it feels good, right? And then Leonard Jones draws the next ticket with me. And Leonard Jones was a really fast, really fit black guy. And when I was a kid, black people scared me, right? Because I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania. We didn't have many black people around at that time. And so I'm at this karate tournament, right? And but I wasn't thinking, how do I fight Andrew, or how do I fight this incredibly, I'm just going, right? I won. I'm just coming from the space. I've already imagined Bob, my instructor, congratulating me, looking and holding my trophy. Feels good. And then Leonard and I square up, and it's like, oh my God, here we go. Right. So we get to throw down on each other and have a blast. And I don't know, probably 60-70% of the time I won. And if I didn't, we both had a really good time.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
We are speaking right now with Mr. 2020. You can find him at freeneville.com. That, though, okay. Because there is that thing where some people think that if we want all the magic of the universe to come, all we have to do is contemplate our navels all day or wish for it. And it sounds, I mean, you don't get to win a karate championship by only ever sitting on your butt and imagining it. There is some action involved.
You know what's so cool? So one of the things that Neville brought up was so when people talk about free will, they think it means to make, do I write an ebook today or make a $27 program today? What's it about? Now here's the fun thing. Ready? As far as I can tell, we don't have free will there, so don't bother playing there. And that may sound so counterintuitive, but when I decided, again, I'm not going to say I'm right, but I will say what I say appears to be useful. When I decided, right, I'm not making any decisions from now on except for one. What state do I live in? And so if I'm coming from the state of just having finished a $7 ebook that is crushing it, right, selling 100, 200, 1,000, right, just keeps rolling in fast, if I really move into that state and sit back, what will happen is, not only will the inspiration show up, the passive part, but the active part will be, you know what? Here's my tribe on Facebook. Here's who I want to write this for. What are their problems? And I'll look at it, and it'll all come together because I've already moved to it's a success. Hoping it's a success is tough. Being determined to make it succeed is tough. But really getting, you know what? I've already written this. I just get to discover what I wrote. Again, it's a different story than most people are telling themselves. And it's a different story compared to good grades, get a degree, work hard, it'll all work out. It's fascinating how we can change the story of our quote-unquote reality and change everything that easy. Because once I decided I was a black belt, I decided that when in my first or second class. I walked in, and it's like, yep, black belt, Kenpo karate, the wrong instructor's in front of the room, but I'll deal with him. and the thing is, when I looked at the instructor, he had a beard. And it's like, that's weird, because the guy who should be teaching here doesn't have a beard, right? Because that's what I imagined. I imagined somebody teaching at the Y, and that's where I was going for classes. And it turns out 5 years later, I'm the instructor without a beard, right? But I already went to the end. And going to the end, of course, a black belt loves throwing kicks and punches and having fun and training hard and sweating. A writer loves writing. You love what you're doing. Oh, my God. If you imagine it having worked out so amazingly well, what would imply you've gotten to where you want to get with all this? You'll find that, yep, you're never going to make it happen. You're never going to struggle to make it happen. The inspirations will show up. The ideas will show up. And because of the space you're coming from, so will the people that, you know, that need to be a part of it.
Thank you, 20. So let's say you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like you want to sit and write an article. What do you do then?
I don't get out of bed until I am in the state of yes.
Cool. What does that look like? You're lying in bed.
Yep. So one of the things that Neville taught about was the state akin to sleep. So while you're going to sleep, you're going from awake to asleep. And while you're waking up, you're going from asleep to awake. And he mentioned this little thing called the state akin to sleep. And he said, that's where you can really do this with the least amount of effort, right? And so what I do is I fall asleep with just feeling satisfaction. I really had a great day. And if something bothers me, I change it. So if I'm going to bed and it's like, yeah, you know, everything was good except for that one thing. And I just imagine that turned out differently. And when I feel satisfaction, I fall asleep. When I wake up, it's the same kind of thing because I'm waking up. I hear the traffic going past the house. I mean, it's out there at 5:30 in the morning. I'm amazed that people are going to work at 5:30 in the morning. But I used to be that guy. So I'm in bed and I'm just imagining, you know, I just feel this, oh my God, what do I get to do today? I send out an email. I got to send out the email. I get to do a show. Oh my God. And so I'm really bringing in what my day currently is while I'm in bed. But I'm also bringing in, when we're at 10x this, what's my thing? So again, I'm imagining what I've got going on now, which is cool. But more importantly, I'm coming from this state of knowing, yeah, you know what? There's this other project that currently isn't physical. But I'm imagining that being totally like, oh my God, that's good. And so by the time I get out of bed, I'm ready. You know, stoke the fire, send the email, make the coffee, answer some emails, get ready for the show with Marie, you know, whatever. So you're going to have some sort of feeling in the morning. You might as well let it be a yes. And if you want, we can cover the no trap as well. I don't know how much time you got today.
Before we get into the no trap, I wanted to point something out. I heard you say, I get to do this today. I get to do the email, write an article, do a show,
yep.
As opposed to, I'm thinking in the morning, what do I have to do?
Oh my God.
Yeah. No wonder yeah. I'm so grumpy.
Oh my God. So I go to the store. I want you to get in the habit of being in a yes moment as often as possible. And I walk in the store and I, honest to God, feel yes, right? So I go to Kohl's or Woolworth's or Shop and Save. And I walk in and I feel yes, okay? That's my habit. And so one day I walk in the store, and some days I feel it so much that I actually say it. And sometimes I can be pretty loud. So I walk in and it's like, yes. And there's a lady standing next to me, the greeter, right? Shauna. And she goes, what's that about? And I get to discover in the moment what that's about. And I turn to her and I says, I want you to look around here. There's avocados over there. I'm going to get two of those. I'm going to get strawberries for my wife. I'm going to go in the back there, and I'm going to get the top shelf meat for the ground meat prices. I always do. And I said, I get to do all this with money that people give me from around the world. I don't have to go hunt my food. I don't have to grow my food. I don't have to go gather my food. I can get it all here, and I can have a conversation with you. How cool is that? And she's going, yes. And then my day continues. If you get in the habit, and this is just a little game of mine, every time I go through a doorway, yes, right? That's my attitude. Then I get to find out why the yes is true by what I give to the situation.
Cool.
I promise you, if you play with that, you walk into the library, and I'm assuming there still are libraries in Canada. We have some here.
Yes.
And you'll walk in and you go, yes, I promise you what you read will be far more fascinating, interesting, and give to you and help you double your income in half the time by walking in that state versus like, oh my God, I don't know what to read. Look at all the books. God, this place stinks. It's such a fascinating difference. And it's not about being positive. I am not a positive thinker. Putting positive thinking to me is putting icing on a turd. Not good. I walk into it and when I go yes, I find the yes. Literally, I created the circumstance of the store, my world. Because there are people out there hunting their meat, gathering their vegetables. I can walk into Kohl's and get it all in 5 minutes and have a lovely conversation. That's what's cool to me. Because if I bring that energy of honest to God, yes, I'm giving life to this. Oh my God, that's where the fun begins.
Thank you. And 20, you mentioned as there's the no mindset as well. What do you want to say about that?
This one's a little complicated and weird, but let's go for it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
When you have to know everything, know your what, know how, know why, you can't help but go, no. Right? It can't possibly work. The need to know makes life a nonstop series of no. Right? I need to know all about your past before we go on the first date. No, that ain't going to work out. I get to discover. So when you go on a first date, you get to discover who you and him get to be. It doesn't matter who he was. It doesn't matter who you was. Because when you come together as a couple, you get to discover who you get to be. That's yes showing up. Oh my God. We both get to give each other a chance. We both get to inspire one another. We both get to discover that we are love by being lovely and loving with each other. Oh my God, does that sound like a good date versus, well, you know, I need to know what you do for a living and, you know, your last four boyfriends or whatever. Oh my God. Ah, crazy. And we've both done both, I'm sure.
Yes. My mantra for the last while is, I don't know. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
We've got this need to know, which is totally artificial. That's what the nuns put in me as a little boy, the need to know the right answer. And if you say it, and if you don't say it, you got to know. Nope, not right, little guy. Right? Versus, let's go back to Indiana Jones for just a moment. Indiana Jones, Star Wars, the biggest movies in blockbuster history up until a couple years ago. They weren't about the right answer. They were about the adventure. Oh my God, when you decide I double my income and work half the time routinely, then your adventure begins because you'll find your way of doing it. It may be $7 ebooks. It may be writing something for Kindle. It may be just interviewing people and I don't know. You find out yours once you start the adventure. But the adventure always comes from only knowing one thing. My last breath on earth, right? I guarantee I'm going to be going, God, it was freaking good. Oh my God. It was great. Boom. Knowing that is my last breath here. Oh my God. You see what it does to my call with you right now. Mm-hmm. You feel it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, I love that. So I know people are going to be wanting your new book. You're working on it right now. Do you any idea when it's coming out?
No.
Okay. You'll keep us posted.
I'll keep you posted. Go to freeneville.com. Get on the email list there. I'll bother you every day with a cute little email. You could ignore it if you want to. But anything new that's coming up or old that I've done that's really cool, you'll get a daily little tiny little email about that says, hey, Marie, why don't you go read this because we're going to talk about this today. And that's it. 5 minutes of life and just seems to be a good investment.
Cool. What do you want to leave us with today, though?
You've got a choice to make. Literally, you can be the person who sits in traffic or listens to traffic. And I just don't mean about your job. I mean about your life. I don't want anyone sitting in traffic when they could be waking up next to somebody that they love. That's literal and a metaphor. I'm 51 years old. If you would have told me when I was 25 and a half where I would be in the world, I probably would tell you that you were crazy, because at 25 and a half, I was still messed up. Flashbacks and all that good stuff. Use the tools. Just use the tools that we share at freeneville.com. Realize that your choice is, again, real simple. Are you going to let something lead, or are you? And I encourage you to just notice, what are you imagining and accepting as true? And if it's not serving you, use the tools and change that. It's pretty easy. And let me know that you do. Yeah, I love hearing from people. You know, definitely drop us an email or reach out to us on the little contact page on the site, and just let us know what you're doing. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you so much. That's Mr. 2020. You can find him at freeneville.com. Thank you so much for your time, 20, and thank you for listening, for being with us today, for holding a space, and hopefully for saying yes to at least one thing in your
That's
life
it.
Today. And thank you for being with us. Sending you lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
Hey folks, the Pride Collective at UBC is an AMS resource group for LGBTQ+ folks. All our events and resources are free, so you should check us out on Facebook or come to Nest 2103 and say hi. We have so many fun events every week.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Do you ever feel uncomfortable or unsafe walking around campus at night? There's an AMS service dedicated to helping anyone trying to get across campus alone at night. We're SafeWalk, and we have your back. Call us at 604-822-5355 to request a transfer, or check out our website at ams.ubc.ca/safewalk for more information on hours and policies.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
We are the UBC Musical Theater Troupe. We aim to provide the joys of musical theater to everyone on campus.
Whether it be by participating in our productions, joining our band, or working backstage, we welcome all levels of experience.
Check us out on Facebook for more information. 525,600
Three, four. of some pigskin. This is my shimmer.
Let's see here. God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything? Anything? Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single,